Okay, you may be seated. Pastor Ramir, amazing. Very good. South Dakota, amazing, wasn't it? It was good. How many think Cheryl Bogardus should be a preacher? Oh, actually, all of them were awesome. Great testimony. Beautiful. Keeping the prayers for Mike Williams and the Columbia family. And we'll also have a message tonight. I've never really done this way. So turn with me to Matthew. Is it 24, verse 35? Matthew 24, 35. I'd love to just take my time a little bit and explain something to you, and it'll take, you know, little by little. How many want to hear a funny story? The same one from the morning. You want to hear it? You want to hear it again? Yeah, tell it again. Story number 42. Pastor Jagir, who passed away last week, went to be with the Lord, went to heaven, which is our theme tonight and our message, was in the prison ministry, and he was in a high-security prison up in Maine, and stepped into a cell, and this man was a Satanist. And the Satanist was cursing him and saying, you know, you're nothing, your God is nothing. My God is a God that has power. Satan has power. He has more power than your God. And this went on for a little while. And then Pastor Jagir said wisely, he said, all right, you do want to do a contest. Whose God is the real God? And he goes, okay, yes. So Pastor Jagir's called the jailer. The jailer, come. He came, opened the door. He opened the door. Pastor Jagir stepped out. The guard shut the door. And Pastor Jagir said to the man inside, now it's your turn. And walked away. Tonight I want you to read a couple of verses and we'll look at the text here. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Do you believe that? Did Jesus say that? Heaven and earth will pass away. Well, what will happen when heaven and earth passes away? What happens? Look at the next part of it. But my words shall not pass away. Words. Behind words are thoughts. Behind those thoughts is God. They are God's thoughts. They will not pass away. God will not pass away, but heaven and earth will pass away. Where else is that written where we read about the heaven and earth passing away? It's actually many times in the Old Testament. I think it's seven times. And then we have it in Revelation chapter 20. Turn there with me. Chapter 20 and verse 11. I forgot, you guys don't carry your Bibles. You just got the screen. I forgot about that. Turn in your Bible. Nobody's turning anything. It's Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. That's the heaven and earth are gone. What happens when heaven and earth is gone? Okay. What about heaven, the third heaven? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul verse 3, went to the third heaven. What is the third heaven? That's heaven, where God is. Is that the heavenly Jerusalem? Is that the city? That the city of God that is in the third heaven? Is the third heaven the place where God is and always has been, but he's prepared a place for us called the city, the heavenly Jerusalem? You see, if we back up a little bit and we think about life this way, we have the creation of the earth. There was a time when it wasn't existing. God said, let there be light. Before he said that, there wasn't anything but God, and then God made angels first. Job 38, verse 7. The angels he made first. Then they saw. Isn't that cool? Like, it's almost like God is saying to himself in the Trinity, I'm going to create a universe out of matter, time, and space. And I want a group of people, a group of angels to see it. So I make the angels first, and then I'll do that, and it'll blow their minds who I am. They see creation. But there's something about the material universe that the physicists tell us that it's winding down, that things go to disorder. There is decay. We know that because of the nature of man, that we live and die. We pass away. It's kind of like, we'll go back to that in a minute, a stalk of wheat. I don't know how that would look really, but there's some in wheat. There is in the husk, you have the plant, and then you have the husk, and you have the germ nutrient, the actual value of the plant, the wheat germ, the actual nutrition in the plant. What happens to the husk and the plant? They're blown away. They're cut down. But you get the seed. The seed is the value of the plant. And this is like a human being. A human being is made in the image of God, and he lives his life, and in a way his physical body is like the husk or the plant. But as he lives and moves here, there is spiritual value. And as he believes in Christ. He is born of the Spirit. Christ is in him. And that is the value of your life. We can say the character, or in the scripture, you can actually say the character of a thing, or the name. The name. The name is a reflection of the person, the real person. Peter, Simon, Simon, you shall be called Peter. Guys, this is what you will do. Jacob had 12 sons, and at the end of his life, he had 12 sons. At the end of his life, he had, in that group, there's his grandson, Ephraim, also, because one isn't mentioned. But in fact, he looks at each son, and he then predicts their future, and what he's making mention of is the person. You are Judah. You are Joseph. You are Naphtali. You are Asher. And he prophesies about each son. And it's a reflection of like what is happening in you and me, that our true nature and character is being defined by God, in the Spirit of God. And it depends also on me and how I hear, how I relate to it, what I believe. And there is reward in heaven. There's something happening, developing in you. It's a development of grace that happens in you. You may live a short life. You may live a long life. You may live a carnal life. You may live a spiritual life. You may have a life of very little value, or you may have a life of great value in the eyes of God. Isn't that amazing? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches that. So let's go back to our simple diagram, and I do want to make this very, very simple and profound. Life goes until this world has some change. I'll draw a king's crown here. Jesus comes, and the world is changed like this. It's an upgrade. How long does it last? 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20. What's the characteristic of the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Satan is bound in a high security prison with his demons. The atmosphere is clear. Like on the moon, did you know that? That astronauts that have been to the moon are in a euphoric atmosphere. They have testified of that. I don't know how many of these men have said that. There's articles about it. I think 37 of them. They all say it's incredibly awesome, like the presence of God in outer space. Why on this earth we don't have that? Because this world has demonic influence that causes a lot of pain and a lot of trouble with a fallen nature, the fallen nature of man. So there is a world that is governed with evil, and there's a lot of suffering because of it. But this will change for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. It's a real physical and spiritual phenomena that is coming in the future. We will be part of that government. We will return with Christ. We will reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, our reward is a real thing. Romans chapter 8, your life is not in vain. I like in the testimony of the South Dakota group that there wasn't any little person, that teenager said. I was glad I was part of a team, though I am a little person, but actually nobody is a little person when I'm on this team. We're all part of it. That's like the body of Christ. We're part of the body. We are the bride of Christ. We are now branches of the vine. We are in his army. There's seven metaphors, and one of them is bride, but we haven't become his bride. We are engaged, but we haven't yet been wedded to Christ. The wedding will happen in heaven when we are raptured. That's a real thing. And when he returns with us, this is the wedding feast that will happen. That will happen on the earth. And we will realize in a brand new way, in a credible way, the kingdom of God is here on the earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth. Come on earth as it is in heaven. But now, tonight, we want to make reference to a huge game changer. And it is, I want to put just a big X there and put here the beginning of something that's eternal, of a different order, of something we have not seen, we cannot imagine, a new heaven and a new earth. Wow. That's what it says in the scripture. So, when someone passes away, one of our brothers or sisters, what happens to them? They leave the body. In James 2:26, just like faith without works is dead, so the body without the spirit is dead. The body dies because the spirit leaves. The spirit, where does it go? It goes to be with God. The unsaved person, the spirit of life leaves them, but their soul goes to Hades, goes to hell. Their body is buried in the cemetery, and it's waiting in the ground, deteriorating and so on, but that it will have a resurrection for the white throne judgment. The believer, on the other hand, his body goes in the ground, and it will be redeemed out of the ground in a glorified state and be there in the presence of God at the time of the rapture. So where does their spirit and soul go for the believer? They leave the body and they're present with the Lord. Where? In heaven, like John went in the book of Revelation. He saw a door open and he went up. There he was in the third heaven with God, and he saw the throne and he saw the angels. He saw what he thought was God in Revelation 19, verse 10. He bowed down to worship, and the creature said, "Do not worship me. I am your brother." There was a saint that he mistook as being God. He was so glorified. What a beautiful picture. What we shall be, we do not know. 1 John 3. We have not yet seen what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we will be like him. So we go to the heavenly city. Let me show you something about the heavenly city by picture here, very simply. You know about the tabernacle of the Jews. How many of you know the tabernacle of the Jews? A bird's eye view of the tabernacle of the Jewish people. Anybody, you know about it? Okay, if you look down on the tabernacle, I'm sorry, I don't have the footage in mind, what that footprint is. I wish I prepared for that. Wish I could remember that. 150 feet long, I'm not sure. But I know this, that inside the courtyard, there's a small building that is a rectangle like this. It's a tent, and half of it is 15 feet square, 15 by 15. What is this part called? Holy of Holies. This is called the Holy of Holies. What is it? What is in there? The Ark. This is where God is inside. That's the Holy of Holies. Move forward in time. Solomon built a temple, and in his temple, the Holy of Holies, that place where they met God, was 30 feet by 30 feet square. 30 feet, it's like a cube, 30 feet by 30 feet. And this is where God is. This is where they met God. Isn't that amazing? Inside, they had the place where they served, and they had the big courtyard, Solomon's temple. Do you get the picture? Listen to this. Follow it with me. There is the earth, and there is a city. And how big is that city in the book of Revelation? Is 1,500 miles square and tall. We made it like a cube like this. It'd be like from where they went, I'd be from Wisconsin over to Maine, down to Miami, down over to Houston, that big size. That's the size of the city. How do we know this? This is in Revelation chapter 21. The size of it. Who is in it? Who is in the city? God. God is in the city. God is in the city. Is there any light there? No. Go back to these pictures here. This one. Was there any light in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple? No natural light. There was no light there. God was in there. God was in the Holy of Holies. There is a time coming when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the city of God will come down upon the earth. That city is described in the book of Revelation, and the size of the city, and it says there'll be no light there, there'll be no sea. I've got a list of things that will not be in the city here. Let's turn to the scripture, please. Revelation 21. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is a meditation. A new heaven, new earth. What happened to the old one? It was disintegrated. It was gone. I don't like that. I don't like that. I like the earth. Go back to this. Where are we? This one. I don't want the plant to be destroyed. I don't want the plant to be taken out. I don't want the plant to be burned up. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. There's something more important, more value, something valuable, something eternal, something that glorifies God. This part is passing away. I don't want it to pass away. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about if I think like that. I love the ocean. I don't want to go to heaven and there be no ocean. There's got to be an ocean. Well, God never asked me what my opinion was on it. He never took counsel with me. He wasn't as interested in what I had to say about it, because I don't know what I'm talking about. So he's very good and gracious and kind to us. But look at what's not there. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why is there a new heaven and earth? Because the city of God that he's prepared, this one, this city that our sisters and brothers are in, that city today, they're in the very presence of Almighty God, in the city of God that is out there somewhere in the third heaven. And that city is going to come here on the earth. He has promised it. He told us to pray for that day to happen. That day will be coming. And now there is a huge game changer. All the evil is done away with. Satan has been cast into the lake of fire. The unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. And there's a whole new change. Heaven and earth have passed away. And there's a new heaven and a new earth. What will that be like? What will he do? What? Why? Because you see, God uses that form and our experience here in this life, but he's doing something much greater than we could ever imagine. There's something we don't fully understand. Of course not. There's something our limited mind and imagination. But when we look at creation, we say, wow, look at that fish. I saw a garter snake today about this long, all coiled up. And I threw a stone at it. It didn't move. It was dead. Maybe a car ran over it. I looked at that snake. It was so beautiful. Green stripes. And I go, wow, that's a beautiful snake. Wow. The fish is amazing. The bears. Everything about the universe is incredible. God is talking to us. Could he make a new one where there would be changes that would not be, that would be things different about it? Look at Revelation 21, verse 1. For the first heaven, first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more swimming? No more windsurfing? No more fishing? Okay, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. I want to put in there the Holy of Holies. The place where God is, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what it's about. It's about people being joined to God in what's called a marriage, a bride. As I get older, I think a wedding is such a beautiful thing. When a man and a woman are joined together in holy matrimony, what an amazing miracle and a blessing that is. That's a precious thing. And yet it's a small reflection of something that is of a greater magnitude, the thing of which we cannot even begin to understand what love is. What that kind of love is, that our bridegroom would come and save us, that our bridegroom would die on the cross for us, that God would be married to us, that we'd be married to God, and there'd actually be a place that we live in all his people. Okay, go to verse 2. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor aspirin or Tylenol. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What did he get out of the husk? He got you and me, Christ formed in us. We are being conformed to his image. He got that out of this work of grace. He got that out of you and me. He put that in us. And we're living in this world of by faith. We can't even see what's going on. We're like blind. We don't even know what it is, but we've got the Bible to tell us. And we realize and believe it and anticipate it. It's a real thing. This is beautiful. Look at verse 4, and then it said 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What kind of new? Glorified state. Not the things we're used to, like sun up, sun down, like autumns and spring and winter and summer, like death and cemeteries and funerals. I have a short list here. I'm going to read it to you. It says, there's no more sea, no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more thirst, no more wickedness, no more temple, no more night, because the glory of God will shine in the temple. No more closed gates. The gates are open because God's door will always be open. No more curse because the death of Christ has lifted it. Based on this list, some have described heaven as the blessed place of no more. Stephen Lawson has compiled an expanded list of no mores. And I'll read it to you. This is from Mark Hitchcock's book, The End. There will be no funeral homes, no hospitals, no abortion clinics, no divorce courts, no brothels, no bankruptcy courts, no psychiatric wards, no treatment centers. There'll be no pornography, dial a porn, no teen suicide, no AIDS, no cancer, no talk shows, no rape, no missing children, no drug problems, no drive-by shootings, no racial tension, no prejudice. There'll be no misunderstandings, no injustice, no depression, no hurtful words, no gossip, no hurt feelings, no worry, no emptiness, and no child abuse. There'll be no wars, no financial worries, no emotional heartaches, no physical pain, no spiritual flatness. Turn to your neighbor and just say, there'll be no spiritual flatness. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Yeah, you. Yeah, no spiritual flatness. No relational divisions, no murders, and no casseroles. I don't know why you put that in there. There'll be no tears, no suffering, no separations, no starvation, no arguments, no accidents, no emergency departments, no doctors, no nurses, no heart monitors, no rust, no perplexing questions, no false teachers, no financial shortages, no hurricanes, no bad habits, no decay, no locks. No locks. You know what you could do when you're soul winning, have a bundle of keys and say, you know why I have the keys? Because we have to lock doors. You know why we lock doors? Because of sin. Okay, listen to this. In heaven, we will not need to confess sin, never need to apologize again, never need to straighten out a strained relationship, never have to resist Satan again, never have to resist temptation. Never. Wow. You know, I'm a firm believer. I've just taken your whole life and reading Revelations chapters 19, 20, 21, and 22, and thinking about it. Thinking about heaven. Thinking about that city. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, the Last Supper. I go to prepare a place for you. And listen, if it wasn't so, I would tell you. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you. Is it so? Is it so? Okay. I don't know about the new heaven and the earth, new earth. I don't know really what that means. I mean, the wall of the city that goes around the city is like clear glass. It's like a diamond. It's like translucent. It's shimmering. There are colors there that are amazing. There's the gates that go into the city, north, south, east, west. So to speak, the city will come down on this earth. It'll be a globe. It'll be glorified. It's hard. We do not know or understand everything about it. Not a lot is written about it, but we can be sure. If he made this world this way, and he's a good God, a God that died for us, rose from the dead, if he's a God that saved us and cares for us, if he's a good God, a loving God, a merciful God, then that world that is coming is going to make this one look like kindergarten. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what it will be. But it makes this world. We are looking, and the human race is struggling to find God. There's so much false religion filled with hypocrisy. But your religion is not filled with hypocrisy. It's filled with reality. Your life isn't a phony story. Your life is reality. After all, we're in church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and many other things we can say. When we get up on a Monday morning and we open our Bible and we have a prayer time, we're actually seeking the living God. When we're tempted, we look to the living God. When we're in our trials, we read about the Apostle Paul and the living God. And he tells us that our light affliction is only for a moment. We're only here for a short time. Let us redeem the time. Do you know that the great valuable thing that you have is time? Give it to God. It's short. It has value. Give your heart to him. Walk by faith in him. He will show you. He will lead you. And then one day when we are gone, we will pass away. It may not be long from now, for who knows, but it won't be. It's our life, is it? We will be sorrow. We'll be sad when the people we love pass and it happens. But we also sorrow not as others who have no hope. We sorrow not as others. Because only in a short time this will happen. And then this happens. This will happen. And then this happens. And it's sure. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe these things because your Son came. A little window was opened for us in our hearts. We went through it. We crawled through that window by faith, and we found a big open field of the glory of God. We believed. Your Spirit came into us We found peace and love and quietness. We found the Holy Spirit comforting us and teaching us. We found our Bibles open to us. We found our sisters and brothers that also believe. We are being prepared. That character. You're going to give us a name that nobody knows but you and the person you give it to. We'll have a new name. Guys, only you will know the character that you formed in us. And that's for real. It's our soul body. It's the life of Christ in us. Maybe somebody listening, you haven't started your journey yet, then come to Jesus tonight and start your journey by faith in Him and keep coming to Him in your heart by faith. God saves you instantly by His grace. You are born again. You're a new creation. You're a child of God. You are forgiven of all your sin. Called by name. He knows your name. He calls you by name. And say to Him, Jesus, save me. That's all. And repent from your way. Trust in Him. You'll take away all the stuff you don't need. And trim your sails and get going and live by faith and learn about Christ and drop the other stuff. And if you pick up poison, then bring it to God and say, I have had poison, forgive me. I've lived in sin, forgive me. Heal me, bless me, use me, and develop and cultivate my life in faith. Also, maybe some are thinking of Bible college. And go to Bible college, get a class or two, or get in your church and get deeper and deeper and learn and grow in your faith. God has a lot to say to you. You are precious. In Jesus' name, amen.